For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
Welcome to another episode of Punch Drunk Fuck Faces. My name is Jason Tebow, and I'm here with my good friend, Bert Kreischer.
Hey, everybody.
And Ari Shaffir, welcome. Who's about to board a plane in Detroit. What's up?
I'm on a plane headed for Seattle. I just wanted to get a little, at least 10 minutes in to say what a cheap NBA series that was, what garbage that suspension was. I can't believe how Golden State couldn't hit a goddamn shot in the last 5 minutes.
Kreischer's wearing a Warriors hat, but he tells me he's not a Warriors fan. It's the only thing that'll fit his giant melon.
Yep.
You're not a Warriors fan at all?
No.
Who's your NBA team?
I actually really have a distaste for Steph Curry.
Really?
Like, I get upset and I only call him Steven.
I like that.
I do not like Steph Curry.
Why not?
You haven't heard light-skinned dudes ain't in style no more.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Steph Curry. You know what I don't get? And we talked about this a lot on the show. We'll get to sponsorship and all that later. I want to use your time that we have, Ari. Why do people hate LeBron James so much? He's been in the last six NBA finals, three with one team, three with another. He's now won, what, three of the last six. He doesn't get a DUI. He's never smacking his bitch around. He's never getting pulled over with drugs. He's never getting arrested.
Never done anything in Denver. Never done anything in Denver with someone who wasn't willing.
Didn't rape anybody in Denver. didn't hold his team hostage for money, you know? He's a decent guy, and he's an awesome. I would take LeBron James in his rookie season all the way to the end of his career over Kobe Bryant 100 out of 100 times.
I agree with that.
Me too. Here's why I don't like him. Because he plays against my teams. Same reason I didn't like Jordan.
Yeah, okay. There's something in that. Like people are hating on him because he's a dream crusher.
He's so good. That block was so good.
God, it was.
Yeah.
Literally, he came from out of nowhere.
Yeah. Dude,
if he doesn't get that block and Draymond Green hits two free throws,
whole different thing.
At least, maybe probably Golden State wins.
Yeah. You know, and we said it on this show last week, when they were down 3-2, and we had you look up what the odds were. I'm like, put your money on Cleveland, because they're not going to lose at home, and I would never bet against LeBron James in a Game 7.
Never.
He gets a rock-hard dick that night, knowing tomorrow it's on.
They were wearing long sleeves. I like that.
Do you?
I like the new style.
A lot of the players say they hate it because it feels restrictive when they're shooting. Like, you know, they pull up and they kind of feel it. I've heard different players bitch about that.
Really?
But
I mean, as a proponent of guns out, I totally agree with what they're saying. It's restricted to have anything on. We got to go to shirts versus skins in the NBA. At least one game next year, shirts versus skins.
That would be badass.
That would be good.
Why don't they do that?
I have to think of a lot of reasons.
Everybody knows their name. You don't have to say foul number 24.
Half of them have their names tattooed on them.
That is true. Did you ever see? Yeah, they should have to get their last name tattooed across their back like it is on their jersey, and then just go shirts versus skins.
Someone's got to have that tattoo of their number on their stomach and their back with their name across their back.
I guarantee you, some dumb fuck has their high school name and jersey tattooed on them. All those guys
for
are like,
sure.
Man, back in the day, man, I was double-double in 1987.
Oh, I'd fucking love to do that. Number 11, Kreischer.
You should do it.
That'd and then have a different number in the front.
That'd be a good bag of bets. You have to get your old high school number jersey tattooed.
Number in the front.
And a different number on the front, of course. If they went shirts versus skins, you know what they would do? It would really throw off, like, the local commentators that don't know the players' names. You ever see old, when Michael Jordan was on Saturday Night Live?
No.
Way back in the day. And they did one of those, like, video sketches where it looked like it was, like, 1940s, 50s. And it was like, and Jordan was the first black guy in the NBA. So it was all white guys. And, you know, he's got 140 points and he's passing it to himself. And the commentator just keeps going, Blackie passes the ball to Blackie and Blackie steals it. And never used his name. They just kept calling Michael Jordan Blackie.
The only thing I really remember out of Saturday Night Live old school was when Ray Romano was auditioning for SNL or for a SportsCenter.
Uh-huh.
And someone scores a shot, and all the black guys go nuts, and he goes, they're celebrating like the Emancipation Proclamation. And they're like, too far. Hey, did you guys watch the U.S. Open?
I watched the last round.
Does anyone want to comment on how hot Gretzky's daughter is? Holy
shit.
Dude,
she's always been hot.
Motherfuck Dustin Johnson.
Ugh. She's always been hot.
Wait, he's married to her?
Now they have a one-year-old. But they were only dating like 4 months before they had a kid, I think. And
dude,
they both do coke, and they both party on boats.
How do you know they do coke?
Because he popped positive 3 times.
Oh, so you
three
dude,
times.
If you're doing coke, you're not dating
Florida,
somebody
that knows what that looks like.
Yeah,
yeah. Christian knows. Christian,
dude,
knows.
Trust me. You pop. Here's the way it goes. We talked about this on my podcast.
Yeah.
If you pop positive once, hey man, it's a fluke.
Yeah.
If you pop positive twice, shit happens.
Yeah.
If you pop positive 3 times,
yeah,
you got a coke problem.
Exactly. And the other,
Dustin Johnson's in his Mercedes going, the first one was marijuana.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, then, and to your point, if you got a coke problem, or let's just even say habit.
Yeah.
I don't even say problem. Let's just say habit.
You
don't date or marry a woman that is anti-cocaine.
Oh, no.
When I was doing coke, so was my girlfriend at the time. I was dating a girl that was down for doing coke. You know? When I was in my big stoner days, my girlfriend was a stoner.
Yeah.
When I was in my big drinking phases, I only dated girls that were drinking, or I dated a girl that was begging me to stop drinking and eventually left me.
So, Ari, rebuttal?
I think that's a smart move. My best girlfriends have been super stoners. We just sit there and watch TV all day. I don't have a rebuttal. I have agree.
I concur, except my wife doesn't drink at all, and I party hard as fuck.
She never drinks?
She drank last night, and she was like, we were both drinking wine, but the girls were swimming over to her friend's house. And all of a sudden, she goes, oh, my God, we got to get the girls. She's like, we're both drunk. And I was like, let's walk. And so we walked. It was 114 degrees.
Oh, how was it at your place? Because you live in the valley.
Fucking ridiculous.
It was 104 in Hollywood, so I can imagine what you were going through.
It was 114.
In fairness, I should mention, the only reason Bert's wife doesn't drink is because Bert already drank it all.
True. Where's all of our wine? He's like outside
there's,
with one
there's
sock
a
on.
Very, there's a very true statement to that, in that when we go out and start drinking, I get 2 steps ahead of her. So I'm like, well, I've already started drinking. I can't drive. Yeah. And she's like, fuck.
She fucking.
So one time, Ari, she goes, we're going to a party tonight. We're going to a party. She goes, hey, how about tonight I drink? And I was like, excuse me? She was like, how about tonight I drink and you drive? And I was like, then why are we even fucking going?
Yeah. I got an idea. How about you lawyer
like
up?
Works, that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, let's just take a cab
or
something.
It's not English.
That's what Ubers are for. That's what Ubers are for.
Are you on the plane? Yeah. Are you on the plane right now, Ari?
I am. Let's just date at the gates before I go.
Go for it. What do you got, Ari?
No, announce it.
Oh, here we go with dates out the gates. And starting us off is Ari Shaffir. I got a couple dates I wrote down, but go ahead, Ari.
Tonight I'm in Seattle at the Crocodile at 8:00 p.m. And on Thursday, I am at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. Thursday at 9 p.m.
And you're doing
so
your whole
tickets, sorry, the great .com.
And you're doing your new hour. You're running your new hour.
I'm headlining the main room. It's not just doing a spot. I'm doing an hour for 70 minutes or so.
And working out your new special. Is that what that is?
It's worked out. I'm trying to shop it to Netflix and Comedy Central and those people.
Are those people going to be there at your show?
Yeah.
I will be there to support you, good sir.
I'm anti-Comedy
Central. I made him $10, so come on out.
I'm anti-Comedy Central's hours because I can't find Big J's anywhere now, and I forgot to DVR it.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. I'm like,
let's go to ComedyCentral.com. It's probably up.
Oh, okay. There we go. I'm back, Comedy Central. Wow, that was
pretty
easy.
Simple. There we go. Oh, well, then I take back everything I said. What about you, Bert?
I am in Orlando this week on the 24th, 25th, 26th of June.
Stay out of the gay clubs.
Oh, return to the crime, huh?
Return to the scene, huh?
My thoughts and prayers are with my whoever sees me.
I gotta go. Bye, guys.
All right, see you, Ari.
Ari.
Enjoy the show. Talk about the non-sport.
Okay.
We sure will.
Columbus Funny Bone, the 8th and 9th of July. Hartford Funny Bone, 24, 25, 23, 24, 25. And then Syracuse, and go to BurtBurtBurt.com.
Nice. This Sunday, I will be hosting Kyle Ray's Storyteller Show at 10 p.m. at the Comedy Store. And then a couple podcast notes. I'll be on Crab Feast on the 29th. And probably sometime this week, my podcast with you coming out.
Yep.
About right? Okay,
yep.
Great. We had a great time. Thank you for having me.
It was a blast.
And then, let's see, I will be, hey, guys, it was such a success last time. They're having me back. So this weekend, both days, Saturday and Sunday, I'll be singing the national anthem on Hollywood and Wilcox at 3 p.m. If you love America, swing by. Put your hand over your heart. Also, I'll be headlining the big Spokane, Washington blood drive. And I'm all positive you'll have a good time at that. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'll be talking people through beat-offs at the Clearwater, Florida Sperm Bank. So if you need to smoke one out, come say hi to your boy. And that states out the gates. Let Tripoli get his in when he gets here. So you're...
Bro!
Bro! That's his laugh. You ever hear his laugh?
Yeah.
That's the best one. Like, when you can really make Tripoli laugh, he has this, like... embarrassing Minnie Mouse, Mickey Mouse laugh that, like, he'll get it out and then he'll quickly shut it down,
yeah.
You know? So, I don't want to laugh too much.
That's a great analogy. He was at, he came by Flappers the other night.
Oh, I saw that. Now, do you run a room there or something?
What?
Do you run a show there or something?
No.
It made it look like it was your show on the Instagram or whatever.
Oh, really? No. I just was doing a weekend there.
Oh, okay.
And so I did Friday, Saturday. It was a really great room. I had a really good time with it. I like that club.
I like Flappers.
I like Flappers a lot. It's different. I think it would be better if I had been cleaner on one of the shows.
Why?
Because I went out hard. Fucking came. You know, it's like one of those things where you go, oh, I just realized a mistake I made, like, immediately. And you're like, I'm going way too aggressive with these people. And I had really bad hemorrhoids, and that was all in my head.
And so you decided, let's talk about this for 40 minutes?
Yep, and they fucking shut down within the first two.
Well, sometimes you just got to, if you find yourself walking through hell, keep walking. That's a phrase I love.
I like that.
Uh-huh. I believe that's Winston Churchill.
Really?
I think so.
Dude, Winston Churchill's got some bomb-ass quotes.
Yep.
Like, I used to have a book of Winston Churchill quotes, and it was just like, the one I applied to stand-up, I think this is it, is...
Don't talk about hemorrhoids on stage.
No,
I think that was Winston Churchill.
You only fail if you quit.
Oh yeah.
And I was like in my head, I heard that when I was like 26. And I was like, so if I just stick with it, I'll be a success. And I was like, Dad, I wish Winston Churchill tried stand up. Maybe he'd have a different perspective.
That would be great to see Winston Churchill doing stand up.
Maybe
go to ComedyCentral.com. Maybe you might be able to conjure up some of those old Churchill sets.
It would be fucking ironic and punny.
Now, our show, we have a huge beef with Fighter and the Kid.
Yeah.
And I talked about it on your show.
Yeah.
And I talked about our 3-tier plan to beat them, which starts with Tripoli's face just getting lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
It gets bit within an inch of his life. And then our co-hosts, Rogan and Tate Fletcher, come in, and they just curb stop the fuck out of those guys.
I like this.
And then Ari and I come in just for like a victory lap. And then they'll learn their valuable lesson. Now, you seem to have some sort of beef going on with one of your good friends who now is just getting into shape. He's getting into his fighting shape. And when I did your podcast, the number one thing I got asked, which I didn't know, I just thought it was like, you know, every podcast has like a running gags and running jokes. So I didn't
fuck
know.
Fuck the crab feast.
I didn't know what this was. But everyone's like, hey, please ask Bert why he's so fat. And maybe I got 50 of those. So when we started your podcast, I'm like, oh, by the way, everybody wants to ask why you're so fat. And it kind of spiritually broke you for a few minutes.
For a second. Every time. I was saying, someone said to me, You know, you're always mentioning that Tom Segura is your friend. Do you think he's not? And I was like, maybe. I don't know. I noticed I've been saying that a lot. Like, Tom Segura is my friend. It's just, what it is that it just started, this is what fucking pisses me off. It got so much bigger than him or me. Like, it wasn't just,
it's out of your control.
So I'm basing this, I'm guessing maybe Tom Segura has, 100,000 more fans than I do.
Is that true?
I'm ballparking it.
I would think you guys would be neck and neck.
I think. Well, here. Okay, let's look at I don't know. I think he's done two specials back to back that have both been very successful.
I think he's hilarious, and I love
he's absolutely hilarious.
Christina and Tom, I love very much.
But I think he's got a bigger reach than I do, podcast wise and stand up wise. And I think there are what happened was the core group of our fans loved it, and they were going back and forth with me and lighting me up, and I got
you know
a kick
why
out
they
of
loved it.
Why? Because it's true.
Because it gets to you.
It did. At first it didn't, and then at one point it got really. And I was like, dude, I can't even find anything on my timeline. That's just why am I so fat? Pictures of me so fat. Why is Bert so fat? And then Tom was like, hey, man, I really am sorry. I didn't mean for it to get this big. And then I was like.
He didn't mean for that it to get that big or you to get that big?
It to get that
big.
Oh,
my bad,
and then,
my bad.
Privately, he said that to me. And he goes, I'm gonna have to call everyone off. And I go, no. You're not stepping out as I'm fighting in my front yard like my mom in her apron. You get off my son. You get off my son. And I was like, fuck that. I ride this until I die. I ride this until I lose fucking weight. And I go, and don't ever forget, you're fucking fatter than me. That's the funniest part of the whole thing is Tom is 270, 280.
Yeah.
And I am not. I am at least 30 pounds lighter than him.
I will call into action all the Punch Drunk fans and all you drunk punchers to hit up Tom Segura and ask him, why are you so fat, fuckface?
Yeah. Why? What's wrong with your mirrors? And so
he's got those circus mirrors that make him look like me.
He's a fat activist. He's got this amazing self-esteem. And so ultimately he
amazing self-esteem.
He's just got amazing self-esteem. It kind of started dying down, but then what happened was this is where it got really crazy. So my daughter posted something and then someone on my picture and then on Instagram and then someone lit her up. And lit up my daughter. And my daughter was like, what the fuck? My
on her personal Instagram?
On my Instagram. Hers is private.
Okay.
And she commented on, I love you, daddy, or something.
Uh-oh.
And someone just attacked her. And she came out of her room kind of confused and was like,
daddy, why are you so fat?
No. She goes, people write really mean things on your Instagram.
Yeah, I was like, no shit.
I go, oh, listen. I go, you're not allowed to read my comment. She goes, she's like, too late. Oh. She's like, Dada, they're really mean to you. Are you okay? And I said, I'm fine, baby. I go, it's not real. It's the internet. I go, they're fans. A lot of them they just do this to get your attention. So you reply to them, but they are fans. She was like, I don't think some of them are. And I was like, no, baby, trust me. So then I noticed on Facebook, Segura was like, dude, your Instagram's off the hook. It's not a safe place.
When I posted three different, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, I was going to be on your show, I normally get, I don't know, 20, 30 comments on an Instagram post or whatever. It was all that you.
Oh, yeah. And, 100%. And so, and then it started going into this is where it got really crazy is so my friends would people I grew up with who by the way are meatheads. Okay.
Most of my Chicago friends are yeah.
And so they would comment on something hey man, so cool. Can't wait to see you in Orlando or whatever. And then someone would be hey, tell that fat fuck or whatever. And my friend would be hey man, fuck you.
Yeah.
And, a woman would reply and be not cool. That's very rude. And they'd be fuck you, bitch. You don't know the joke. It's an inside joke.
Yeah.
And then they would, and that wouldn't explain the joke. And then it would get worse. And then our friend's mom passed away. And I commented on her mom passing. I was sorry for your loss. It was 3 a.m. And then that morning I woke up and she was in our backyard with my wife just talking about, losing her mom. And she was like, hey, I got to be honest with you. The people that comment on your Instagram are fucking horrible people. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? She's like, have you been reading them? I go, I stopped reading them. I go, Sam, you shouldn't read them. She goes, Bert, I don't think you're fat. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, the fact that, like, that I have friends pulling me aside going, I don't think you're fat, when clearly I fucking am. Like, I am the second fattest I've ever been. Second only to the first time, which was fucking in November when I was the fattest I've ever been.
So in November you were the fattest you've ever been.
Ever been. I was like 256. I was definitely fucking fat.
What's your fighting weight? What's your, like, ideal, like, I would like to be?
I would like to be 220.
220.
220, I'd be like, 220, and I don't look funny anymore. Like, I start looking like.
Good looking.
I just start looking, like, 220, you're like, wow, you look good. Here, I'll show you me at 220.
This better be a dick pic. You know, the I'll old setup. No comics ever fall for, like, hey, check out this. No, I know it's a picture of your cock. Every time I'm like, hey, check out this, I always get, is this the picture of your dick? I swear to Christ. So 220 would be your ideal. What are you right now, if you don't mind saying?
I'm 240 right now.
So you're 16 pounds away from the heaviest you've ever been.
Yeah, I wish I could open that. That picture in that Speedo is me at 220. It's really hard to see. It's really small.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's me at 220.
Dude, you look buff.
Yeah, at 220. Well, I'm a big guy. Like, I'm big. Naturally, I'm like a big guy. But at 220, I look really good. So right now I'm 240. If I could lose 20 pounds, I was down to 235, I think, was the lowest I ever got. And at 235, that's what I shot my special at, was 235.
Okay.
But shirtless, and oddly enough, still very overweight.
Yeah.
Like, you definitely see it. Like there's a point when I sit on a stool and pretend I'm a bear, and you just see my gut. But, like, I've been down to 186, and I look fucking
dope. We in an eighth grade?
No, I'll show you that picture. That's fucking insane.
How long ago were you 186?
When I met my wife.
Well, that
when
explains wife, everything. She's like, wow, he's in such good shape. He'll never let the wheels fall off the bus.
Dude, and they fucking rolled the second we had kids.
They're just rolling down the street.
And you're just running on spokes. Just sparks coming
sparks
off.
Shooting up everywhere.
Yeah, so I think, let's see. It should be right here. Here, this is me. Oh, are you ready for this?
I'm stoked.
Okay.
No fucking way that's you. Dude, which camera is this? Is this camera good?
Yeah.
Dude, what?
Isn't that crazy?
Dude, you look like if Steve-O was on steroids.
Dude, I remember my agent at the time.
And that pose, too, is all like, hey, look who's at 186, nigga.
My agent was like, great, I can't wait to hear you talk about spin class on stage. Did we talk about that?
No.
My agent was just brutal back in the day, and I showed up at 186, and he was like, I bet you're hilarious now. I go, what?
That's how, like, brutal it is. Like, your agent's like, dude, you got, I'm like, he's sending donuts to your house.
Oh, he was like, he goes, I bet your stand-up's amazing. What do you talk about, spin class and dieting?
Yeah, how many girls are attracted to you?
He's like, don't you know who the fuck you are? He's like, you're the party guy. We want to hear about you fucking doing crazy shit. We don't want to hear about you losing weight. And I was like, I remember sitting in his office going, so is this meeting over? Like, this is a general meeting. I thought we were going to talk about what we had planned on going on my career.
And he's then, like, go eat celery, faggot.
I remember going into a meeting at like a.
Long ago was that?
That was,
well, when you met your wife, so.
14 years ago.
Okay.
So 14 years ago. So I had a couple TV shows, and then I was like, I'm going to lose the weight. I'm going to feel good about myself. I'm going to fall in love. All these things I wanted to do. And so lose the weight. I go into an audition, and I walk in, and they're like, whoever it was, was like, whoa. Whoa, I guess we have a new look? And I was like, well, no, I just, you know, I'm trying to get healthy. And they're like, okay, yeah, sorry, we thought you'd be you. You can leave.
Yeah.
And I literally, like, walked in, didn't even read, and I just walked out.
Really?
I was like, okay.
And you ever walk into an audition and you know, like, just who's in the waiting room to go in that you're like, oh, I'm not getting this.
Yeah, that's why I stopped auditioning.
Remember Life of Pi?
Yeah.
That movie? I auditioned for the tiger, and I walk in, and there's four tigers in the green room, and I'm like, I don't know about this. But, I read good, and I'm like, rawr, and they're like, ooh, we like it. But they actually went with a tiger. But I was, like, that close to being in the boat. I mean, it would have been great with that kid, and that would have been wonderful. I really could have used that break.
Dove Davidoff used to murder audition rooms. Like, he just the waiting room.
I haven't seen him in a long time. Where's he been?
I haven't seen him forever. I think he's in New York.
Is he? Okay, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, is he have a podcast? No? That would be interesting to listen to.
Yeah.
Just
imagine he does.
On a rooftop in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Or in fucking some junkyard in New Jersey where he grew up.
Right.
He's a fucking one. Or Lower East Side. He's an interesting fucking guy.
Yeah, he is.
He really is. But yeah, so anyway, then it crescendos last night with Segura posts this fucking workout video of himself. Mm. Of him working out and doing stand-up and just talking shit to me. And then having to tell his fans, listen, you guys know I love Bert, and hopefully this will inspire us all to lose weight, but he's still a fat fuck, and I'm not.
Has he shed a bunch of pounds yapping at the...
His body will never lose weight. He does not have that kind of body that the weight will just come off of him. That'll never happen.
Yeah.
His only goal is to turn into a power lifter and just get bigger. Like, And you want to know something crazy? I wish we had a computer in here. If you pull up a picture of Tom Segura in high school, dude, he is Latino attractive. Like, there are pictures of him. I don't know where. I guess I saw him in his house. When he was in high school, mother of God.
Where'd he grow up?
In Florida.
Oh, so you're both from Florida.
Both from Florida.
You're both overweight, and you both want to punch each other right in the fucking cake hole.
Like, we go out to eat, and you just watch
him. Oh, I bet you do.
Oh, he fucking murders food.
He's really?
Like, oh, yeah. He orders stuff I've never heard of.
Like what?
He's like, he's the first person that introduced me to ink squid pasta.
Oh.
He was okay. Like, we went to this place. He's like, no. You got to get the ink squid pasta, a little bit shaved, one of the mushrooms, the trussels,
yeah,
truffles.
Truffle.
Shaved truffles. You're going to love it. Oh. And I was like, really? He's like, oh, this is the fucking greatest thing. Get one of those. You know what? We're going to get... let me just order for you. And then he just orders two things he wants.
Now, do you think he's throwing you under the bus by ordering you a bunch of fatty food so he can keep shitting on you?
Oh, this was a while ago. We went out to, every time we've gone out to eat, he just, I murder booze, he murders food.
Mm.
Like, he's not a big drinker. He'll have, like, a glass of wine like a woman. And then I will drink, I'll go get a bottle, and he'll go, yeah. And then it'd be like my wife. I give him a glass, I drink the rest of the bottle.
Yeah.
And then he orders, well, you know what, we should get a couple desserts and we'll just both get two forks. And then you're like, okay. And then he just orders like, then he'll order three. Well, I mean, key lime pie. Who doesn't want it? Key lime pie doesn't have any calories in it. And then he's just dipping into that. And I don't even like sweets. So he just eats them all.
I'm going to find
a picture of young Tom Segura.
So now I think we should really set up some sort of comedy battle royal, like Ari was saying. Now, Sam and Ari are going to fight. And we're working this out. Sam really wants a piece of Ari so bad it's not even funny. And Ari keeps taunting him and teasing him and dancing around the whole idea. But I think we're really going to be able to make that happen. Now, we're going to combine that with the Fighter and the Kid versus Punch Drunk, which includes Joe Rogan and Tate Fletcher. But we might be able to get an undercard of you and Segura. Maybe just a half rounder before you both have fucking heart attacks.
He's so much heavier than I am that I'd be afraid to, because there's like so much foundation there, you know?
Yep.
Like, he's just thick. Like, I'm a light, frisky 240. He's like a solid 270. Like, you can't move that. He is the mountain, and I'm the young gay guy that dances around and almost wins.
Yeah, you just got a leg kick the fuck out
of
him.
I wish I knew the names of those people. I'm trying to find a young picture of Tom, but I can't find it. He must have taken them all down. It's such a drastic departure. The best is, do you ever have AJ Hawk on your podcast?
The linebacker?
Yeah.
No, but I know he's around the circuit.
He's
great.
I did his podcast yesterday.
His dad was like a wrestler. Right?
Really?
I
think so. I don't know. I only know him through football and from podcasting. And he's a fun podcast to do. You should do his.
Yeah, I would love to. I think his dad was in one of like the I can't remember the name of the very famous tag team in wrestling. Nope, not Legion of Doom. Like what was Axe and Smash?
Demolition.
They might have been. He might have been in that.
I'll
yeah, look
right
it
now.
Up. Look it
I'll
up. I'm
right
pretty
now.
Sure that AJ Hawk's dad. But what about AJ Hawk?
Oh, he was like, yeah, I feel bad. I might have cut some promos for Segura about how fat you are.
Really?
I go, are you shitting? Like,
because
Segura's
God.
Two steps ahead of me in all of this.
Yeah.
All he's got time to do is.
But I like how he's also playing it like, hey man, I'm gonna call off the dogs. You're good.
And then he's cutting promos with AJ
Hawk.
Hawk.
Yeah.
So I gotta come up with my. Fucking I need a workout video that's going to destroy him.
You need an anti-promo video for him. You should get like Dikembe Mutombo or somebody like, no, 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 do not. Tom Segura is fat too. You know?
Oh, God, that's a great idea. You know what?
You get a bunch of celebrities and just do a montage of famous people. You know a lot of famous people or famous-ish here and there.
No.
I mean, you should get AJ Hawk to do a counter promo.
Counter promo. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like you do a recanting like video?
Yeah, exactly.
Like he hit his wife?
Like piano music, like the music from like The Incredible Hulk, every time David Banner's just walking down the street with his clothes in tatters. That little sad music.
All right, I just realized what I should do. I'm gonna show you. Hang on one second. Don't say it out loud, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do something like this. Okay. So I'll do a video that is just what that says. Like, but with...
yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
It's just really cheesy.
Or fat shaming. Yeah.
1980s. Yeah. Where I walk in the scene.
The more you know. That kind of shit. That would be so funny.
Oh.
Now, you grew up in Florida. Does that make you a Florida sports teams guy?
Yeah.
Who's your NFL team?
Bucks. Rams starting this coming season.
I think everybody in L.A. is going to be at least a Rams sympathizer.
I'm a Rams sympathizer. Yeah. I have season tickets. But I definitely...
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Now, how much work... Because you had to put $100 in to get in the raffle. Yeah. And then if you didn't get in, then you got your money back.
Yep.
So you got in.
Got in.
And then you got... What, two seats? What'd you get?
Four seats.
Four seats. Would that run you?
I think it's $6,000 for the year.
Which they're it's only because it's at the Coliseum.
Yeah, right.
Because this thing goes to this new glass fucking Superdome.
We're never going to be able to afford them.
It's going to be $30,000-$40,000, I bet.
So we did the math, and so my wife was like, you know what? It'll be cool for the girls to say they were season ticket holders with the Rams, have like one or two seasons where we get to go to all the games and really enjoy
because
it.
Because you can always just, you know, give them to friends, give them to, you know, sell them if you can't go. You're not going to go to eight games.
We're not going to go to eight games.
I think they're in London for one, so I think they only have seven or six home games at the Coliseum.
And it'd be fun to bring the girls to two or three and then have, like, invite a bunch of comics. I'll be on the road for one, mm-hmm. so give them to a bunch of comics.
Totally.
Just to be like, hey, guys, just in whatever, you know, face value or whatever, or even just give them to, like in my head, you know, it's like you kind of look at, like, really young guys who couldn't afford to go and go, why don't you just take two tickets, you know?
Yeah, my wife. Four-door guys at the store or something.
Yeah, and be like, hey, guys, enjoy the fucking game. And just let them have, like, a fun time. Because that happened to me when I was young with Lakers tickets.
It happened to me, too.
And so, and then once they go into the new stadium, we're just going to buy them. If we want to go to a game, we'll get a ticket. But it's going to be at least, lowest is going to be $50,000 per seat license. So it'll cost $50,000 to even own a ticket.
For every game.
So they have, what is it called, personal seat license?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
That is what it's called, yeah.
And they are guessing that based on where we want to sit, it'll be $50,000 per seat.
Now, so that's not box. That's not in the box.
No.
That's just a regular fucking ass in a chair.
Your seat license costs.
Fuck, man.
It's what it is then is you then have property to that seat.
Right. It's so, like a condo.
Yeah,
it's like a timeshare condo. Whatever, yeah.
And I'll never be able to afford that. Even if I had that kind of money, I wouldn't be able to afford it because it's just stupid to spend $50,000 on a seat to be. And I think me and you said this is that honestly, watching it out of my man cave is just as good.
It's better in a lot of ways.
I get to watch all the fucking games.
Yeah.
So like, why am I going to drop $50,000 when I could? I mean, obviously, the easy go-to is like, I could give that to charity, but I could buy a new fucking car and then really enjoy myself.
That's you have two daughters that are going to be staring down the gullet at college and right around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, something really big has to happen in my life where I pitch a show, sell it, and then they give me a production deal where I make eight shows that are really successful.
Right.
And then I'm not working, and I'm like, well, I just got to piss money away. I got to find somewhere to spend it. It's going to go to taxes, but yeah. So we'll do these two seasons. And then be Rams fans, and then go to a couple games again, but not be season ticket holders.
Right.
But in the case that possibly, this will never happen, but there is the odd case that they lower the seat license to something reasonable. Like if it was like $10,000, you could start rationalizing it. You're like, well, $10,000 over a period of time makes sense. But that's why we put our names in the hat.
Right.
Just wait and find out, you know.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I want to romanticize the notion that once this stadium is built, that there's going to be some way that it's not that ridiculously priced. Now, I get the luxury boxes, and I get owning those boxes. Yeah. A while ago, a buddy of mine, his wife had carte blanche all Staples Center box. So that includes every Laker game, every King game, every Clipper game.
Wow.
Every concert. And it was like $175,000 for this box, which is like 12 seats. Have you been in those boxes at Staples Center? It's like a hotel room.
Yeah, they're really nice.
They're really nice. It's like a hotel room with one wall missing that faces out to the, you know, and they got like 12 seats there. But there's like a little bar and a refrigerator and three TVs and a couch and a closet for you to hang shit. And it was like $175,000. Now, this is like Shaq days of Lakers.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, fucking Darius Miles days. The Clippers were 500 at best. So every concert, no go. Every Kings game, because Kings were good, no go. Every Laker game, no go. Nobody used them for the Clippers.
Really?
So me, Tripoli, him, and like we still had eight extra seats. We went to like 20 Clipper games that year for free. And,
really?
And we would just call all my friends and be like, hey, if you want to go, just come.
Shut up.
Dude, it was the fucking best.
What happened to that guy and his wife?
They died in a balloon accident, which is the worst part. And you're a Florida guy. The balloon comes crashing down.
Are you being serious?
Balloon comes crashing down right into an alligator pit, and they just got ripped to ribbons. And then her daughter, this cunt, gets the seats, and nothing ever happened. No, I don't know. I don't know what happened with it, if she quit that company or something and kind of lost the hookup.
Yeah.
But that was another huge reason why I became a Clippers fan. I became a Clippers fan because I hated Laker fans. And that when I came out here, the Forum was going. So,
really?
Yeah, I got here. They were building the Staples Center when I got here.
I got here when the Staples Center opened up.
Okay. So, right, I got here maybe a year before you or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you couldn't get Laker tickets at the Forum. You could because they were good. And it was such a sceney thing.
Really?
And if you wanted to get you could get a scalp ticket for $75 or whatever. But if you got Clipper tickets at the Forum, I said this on your podcast, if you get there early enough, you could play. I mean, if you got there like at 6:30, they're like, dude, what size shoe are you? You know? I blocked a shot of Scott Skiles once. And
I was one time when I was before I met my wife, my credit card called me one morning.
That's always good news. Hey, we just want to say good job. We're giving you extra cash.
He was like, I think someone's gotten a hold of your credit card. And I was like, really? And they're like, we're going to have the police call you. And I was like, really? And they're like, it's a lot. It was like 40 grand.
What?
And I was like, holy shit. Like, it was a ridiculous amount.
What did they, buy a helicopter?
No, it was, when I first started doing the road, my dad put me on his American Express Platinum card so that I could get into the – so I got my own card like that so I could get into the Admirals Club. When I fly.
Yes.
So I didn't use it, but I used it to get into those
clubs.
And that card got stolen and had no limit. So it was 40 grand. My dad called me. He's like, did you spend fucking 40 grand? I go, I don't even use a card. And he was like, well, they're going to call you. So the cops call and they're like – you sure you didn't use this? And I was like, I swear to God. And they're like, well, someone bought 4 courtside Lakers tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
What a stupid fucking criminal.
I know, right?
I mean, you could probably... What year was that?
It's probably right after 9/11.
Okay.
I'm guessing, because it had to be after 9/11.
So like 83? My math is bad. I don't even remember.
Probably like 2000, before 2000, probably 2001, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was a playoff game. I want to say it was like a Lakers playoff game.
It better be for $10,000 a ticket.
They were whatever they bought these tickets for. They had like courtside tickets, and I remember going like, "Shut up!" And then the cop goes, "Yeah, don't worry, we're gonna get the money back. We're gonna arrest them. We found them." And I go, "Hold on. What are you guys doing with the tickets?" And the cop just laughed. He goes, "Ah, they're going to be confiscated." I said, "Wait, who's going to the game tonight?" And he's like, "I wouldn't worry about that if I were you." I was like, "Hold on, are you guys going to the game?" And he was like, "Well, there's 4 tickets, and
no way.
The cop and 3 other cops went
to
the game.
Fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
I remember wanting to. If I had bigger dick, I'd
go. You should have been like, hey, man, three of you and one of me.
I literally thought, I go, I wish one I had said it. I go, me and my, how about this? Yeah. I won't say a fucking word, but me and my buddy Croy are going with you guys. We'll meet you down there. Is that Tripoli?
No. I don't know who that is. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I will never answer a number. I don't know who it is.
No you ever, shit. I just stopped.
Has anybody ever answered a number where you're like, oh, I don't know who this is? Hello? Well, oh, hooray, it's you.
By the way, today I got called.
I'm always like, fuck, why did I answer this?
I got called at 9 in the morning by a 310 number, and I was like, oh, I wonder if it's you guys. I wonder if it's one of you guys calling.
Oh, this morning.
Yeah, this morning. So I answered it, and it was the California sleep study. And I go, dude, I'm fucking sleeping.
I was asleep, you fuckhead.
And I hung up on him. I was like, that, you're doing everything. I'm all about to sleep.
He's got a clipboard, and he just checks Bert Kreischer. Yep, sleeping.
Yep.
Okay. Now
hi, this is Steve from the
else.
California Sleep Study. And I was like, man, I was just sleeping. And he was like, oh, can I call you later? It's about a sleep study I got to do. But I thought that was pretty ironic. Wait, what was I going to say? What was I
going
to say?
You were talking about the going to the Laker game with the cops. You're like,
oh, that's it. Mm. Oh, yeah, no, no.
So if you had the balls.
My wife, my wife always goes, this is, it makes me fucking crazy. She'll go, 323, who's this? And I go, that's
everyone we know.
I go, that's why they answer it sometimes, to find out who it is. They go, answer it. They'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, there's a couple numbers where I just can't. I write, do not answer. Look at this one. Don't say the name.
Okay.
But this is,
God, I hope it's not my name.
No, but it's, no, if I put in, like a lot of guys' names I'll put in, and I'll just go like so that no one answers it, the top one.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Absolutely, that one.
It says do not answer. Just, yeah. I love doing that.
Mm-hmm. Just to remind you.
Yeah.
Or just in case your phone's ringing and your wife, well, yeah. She'll answer your phone. Won't she?
If it said that name, she'd be like, oh, and pick it up. Oh, yep. We don't fucking answer.
By the way, AJ Hawk's dad, Keith Hawk, is a senior vice president at LexisNexis.
Okay, then who is the? There's a linebacker.
LexisNexis. Not,
yeah, the background check resources.
Really?
There's a linebacker for the Packers that his dad was one of the, like, I want to say Demolition or some big tag team wrestler.
The rumor was that Animal from the Road Warriors was AJ Hawk's.
Oh, okay,
dad,
and that's not true.
It's not true.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Oh, I love when you hear
rumors. I'd always heard that. Maybe these rumors about you being fat aren't true.
Maybe they're not. I definitely don't know about it today. I had a four-egg omelet before I came here.
Did you really?
I got too hungry.
Now, you have chickens like Rogan has chickens. How'd you get chickens?
What got you
in the chicken game?
You order them and they show up. They mail them to you sometimes.
They mail you live chickens.
You can send chickens to someone's house. Who's calling you? You're blowing up.
I don't know,
Glendale.
Dude. Gardena.
Is that what it says, Gardena?
Yeah, I ain't touching that either. Hi, it's a California sleep study. Just making sure you're awake. Yep, middle of a podcast. Well, then I'll check you off the list, too.
Well, I should give out their number and have people prank call them.
Do that.
And just be like, yeah, this probably goes to an answering machine. My wife bought them. I think she bought them in L.A., but you can order them, and they come in like a box.
Box full of live chickens.
Little chicks. We got three, and right now I think we wish we had gotten four.
Why?
Because they lay eight eggs, like 9 eggs a week. They each lay like 3 eggs a week.
All female roughly. Chickens you have. You don't.
Yeah, no one gets roosters.
Okay.
You only get a rooster if you want to make chickens. Like, okay. Because that's why. So they all just lay eggs. They lay about 3 eggs a week. So we're just, like, we need to buy one dozen eggs, like, every now and then. So it sucks because one more chicken and we'd have had a dozen eggs a week and we'd be fine.
Uh-huh.
But now we always have to buy a dozen.
Why don't you just get another chicken?
Because we raise them all at the same time, and it's like super easy to raise them all at the same time, but to raise one chick is a pain in the fucking ass.
Okay.
Raising chickens is the hardest part, like getting them up to speed, because we got them in November, and you had to keep them inside under a heat lamp. You could probably put them out. We could probably get a chick and put it out, but, dude, you know what's crazy? Huh. Hawks fly above our house all the time.
Because they see him.
Because they see and we had a
chicken hawk. It's probably a chicken.
We had a hawk on top of our...
AJ Hawks.
See what he did? Who needs Tripoli?
We had AJ Hawks up.
AJ Hawks circling all over the place. You're fat! You're fat!
right on.
Trying to swoop down and pick you up and fly you away.
Yeah, that's why I have to carry an owl with me.
I saw the owl on the thing.
It doesn't do shit.
Really?
It doesn't do shit.
Yep.
You need the owl perched on something, I think. Or,
yeah, because you just have a plastic owl laying on the ground. Like, who's going to fool that? Oh, look, a dead owl.
He's sleeping.
A dead plastic owl.
but we had a hawk on our fucking trampoline the other day just perched.
Really?
Islet came out.
Like on the top of cage thing?
Yeah, and what had happened was we had taken all our bikes out to wash them.
It's a big bird. How big is it, like that?
No, probably like this big.
Yeah, wow.
And we had taken our bikes out to wash our bikes. We wanted to go on a bike ride. And our bikes just happened to be in the grass, and the chickens were walking around the bikes. And so the hawk couldn't fly in because we had blocked, inadvertently blocked the hawk, and he was just waiting for his fucking time. And Isla came out and was like, Mom, there's a hawk! And my wife came out and scared it away, but it was like, oh, fuck. Oh, my daughters would be devastated if one of the hawks got one of our chickens.
Really?
Oh, devastated.
Because you got a big dog. It's probably not going to fuck with your dog.
Can't fuck with my dog, but... Fucking devastated. Like, they would be destroyed.
But they're in that cage. They can't get them. Do you ever let them run around the yard?
Oh, they run around the yard all the time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All the time.
They were just always in the chicken jail.
My wife wakes up at 6 in the morning, feeds the dogs, goes out, lets out the chickens, lets her cat out.
Okay.
Like, she's a...
Does a cat fuck with the chickens?
No. Although the cat is killing baby birds right now, there's a nest that it's gotten into, and every night it's brought in a baby bird. Yeah, every fucking night.
Merry Christmas. Look what Mittens did.
And my wife goes, one of my buddies is over at the house last night to pick up his credit card. He left it at a bar and I got it for him. And our cat brought in a baby bird. And Leanne saved the baby bird from the cat and is holding it and is petting it and goes, oh, it's sleeping.
Who said this?
Leanne. I go, baby, I don't think it's so comfortable it fell asleep. I think it's dead.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it probably just went to sleep. And I go, open your hand up, let it fly away. And she goes, oh, he's sound asleep.
Like, oh, no.
I was like, no.
He's taking a forever nap.
Yeah, he took a fucking Ambien. Oh, my God. Like a light.
Took an Ambertian.
But I don't know how we have friends staying at our house because we're gone for a month. Young kids, and they just do dabs in our backyard.
Really?
Yeah.
With these guys in your backyard just ripping bong rips, do you ever worry about maybe a missing chicken or two?
No. You can't eat these chickens.
No, I mean, are they going to let them out of the cage until Hawk fucking Central?
Probably. I don't know. She puts these things up. You probably saw them in our backyard. These, like, clothes hangers with CDs hanging from them.
Yeah, what's that shit about?
Because the lights spook the hawks.
Oh.
The hawks see the lights, the little flashes of the lights, and it spooks the hawks. But I don't think it works so well because they were in the fucking yard when the hawk was perched on the thing.
Yeah. I don't know how well they're working when you got a couple hawks having a party on your trampoline.
No, one of my buddies came over. We had these two kids that used to live in my man cave. One was my wife's cousin and or nephew. And his best friend, and they work at like CPK in the Valley on Ventura, and they come over and do dabs like crazy. And one of my friends came over to check on the house, and he saw them, and he thought they were smoking crack in our backyard, and called us, and he's like, two crackheads broke into your backyard. They're doing crack. And I was like, holy shit. And my wife's like, what do they look like? And then my wife goes, oh, my cousin's smoking crack. I go, no, it's dabs. She's like, what? I go, maybe I shouldn't tell you that I know what this is, it's not.
You think that is going to be the deal breaker after everything in your relationship with your wife? You know what dabs are?
I've never done a dab.
Fuck?
I've never done a dab.
I never did either because I missed my window of that with pot. There's a lot of drugs that, and dude, when did it become like such a science project? You know, there's always all those like pot marijuana shows and all. You know, we always get to do all those, and I was doing one up at the San Jose Improv, which I love that improv.
It's a great improv. Houdini used to perform there.
It looks like such a beautiful old theater. And really, is that true? Houdini's from?
Yeah, Houdini used to perform there.
You know his old house up Laurel Canyon?
No.
It's now a rehab. They like turned it into like a sober living rehab, I found out yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, if you go up Laurel Canyon, like before Lookout Mountain, it's on the right-hand side. But it's a beautiful old house.
Really?
But yeah, that's Houdini's old house.
I could definitely go into rehab if I could live in Houdini's house.
I mean, I was thinking about relapsing just to get a fucking bed at Houdini's house.
Wait, how do those work? Do you have to pay for those?
Some you do, some you don't.
You can just go in and be like,
yeah. But, you know, the more free it is, the shittier it is usually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you can go to like those Malibu ones. They're like 30 grand a month.
My buddy's done a couple.
If I were to steal your credit card, it's because I'm going to rehab.
My buddy's.
It's not Laker tickets, bro.
My buddy's been in rehab probably like 6 times, 7 times.
Yeah.
And his first.
Is that a
one,
do not answer guy when he calls?
No, no, no. I always answer him. When I fell off a waterfall, I was taking Vicodin a lot. I was taking them nonstop.
That's a tough kick. Tough to get rid of once you get back going.
I was taking Vicodin and Valium.
Ooh.
And like pairing them up, it was such a great buzz.
Oh God, Valium, I love that. That was other than alcohol, but alcohol for me, it's just everywhere.
Yeah,
you can't go to anything where booze isn't involved in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
I went to that Mendenhall Gallery, I can't even think of his name. That photographer that's in. It's at LACMA right now. But he's like a big gay guy in the 80s. I went to that this weekend at like 10 o'clock with a bunch of friends. At 11:30, they're like, well, it's time for cocktails. And I'm like, God, now I'm on this train. And it's like, you know, we go to some rooftop and have cocktails, and we go somewhere else. And then, you know, and I'm just sitting there watching everybody. Oh, try this. It's delicious. Try it. I'm drinking Arnold Palmer's. So booze is just everywhere. But Valium for me was one of the greatest buzzes. And the hardest thing for me to stop, because when I stopped it, because I felt how addictive it was, and I was like, I got to get off this train now or I'm never getting off it.
Oh, benzos are the hardest thing to get off of.
For a month, I could not sleep. I would just lay in bed and just, I couldn't
fall
asleep without
it. That is the worst fucking feeling in the world.
I couldn't sleep without it, and it took me a month.
You're like, I know I need to not touch this to get better, but I can't get better. Like, tomorrow's going to be a beast of a day because I can't just get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, 100%.
But I called my buddy up when I was taking Vicodin and Valium, and I was taking a lot.
How much is a lot?
Whatever my prescription was like the most you could give someone in Vicodin.
Without them being a horse or killing them?
Yes. And whatever my prescription in Valium was, no, this is the tricky part. So say it was 5 milligrams, well... I ran out of the Valium first, and I called my doctor at home to get more Valium because it would literally loosen up my back, and they gave me double the prescription on both of them. Mm. So whatever they gave me double. And so as soon as I started taking them, it was like I was doubling up, and I was like, this is fucking great. And I remember calling my buddy and being like, hey, I got a real quick question about addiction, like. My buddy's like, man, when you're taking 15 of those fucking Vicodins, then call me. But he's like, don't, if you're taking what's prescribed to you
correct
in those hours,
yep.
He's like, yeah, it's going to be tough to stop doing that, but not as tough as when you're taking 15 at a time and then you're thinking, well, heroin's healthier for me.
Yeah, then you start, and it's cheaper.
And it's cheaper.
And I don't need a prescription for it, and it's a better high.
Yeah.
And now you got one foot in the fucking grave. And heroin is a killer.
My buddy's problem is, he said it was always beer. He was like, actually, you know what he said? His problem was weed. He was like, I could not live life without weed. He was like, I still to this day, he's like, everything's just better when I'm high. And I told, it's so weird because part of me goes, just move to fucking Denver and no one will say anything to you.
Yeah, that's true. But see, the problem with addicts is like, I can be like, oh man, maybe I'll just drink on the lies that I tell myself and that I believe.
Yeah.
Lead to, you know, 6 months down the road, problematic. Like, I can't make concessions.
I guess.
I'm like, my addiction is like, you give me an inch, I'll take a mile. And it always works out that way.
Yeah, I guess so.
I've tried just drinking beer. I've tried just drinking on the weekends. I tried, okay, I can drink once a month. None of that ever happens. It maybe happens the first time.
Yeah.
Maybe for a week I only have beer. But eventually beer isn't enough. Eventually the pills aren't enough. And then you're like, oh, man, maybe I'll try fucking heroin. Oh, man, maybe I'll try, you know what I mean? And for some crazy reason, it sounds like a good idea in your fucking head.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, once I stop something, I'm done. Like, I'm pretty OCD about that. But like, so like, I haven't touched Valium, Xanax.
I have
a prescription of Xanax that I take with me. But I mean, I never fuck with it.
You have like a long, like an open, like whenever you need it, you can
just
get
call
it.
My doctor and refills it. Yeah. And I used to take it. I used to bring it out on the road with me if I was going to like Africa or something. Or it's like you get to Africa and it was just your hours would be so fucked up.
I don't know what flight's that.
30.
You go
30.
Like from here to Europe and then Europe to Africa, or what do you do?
Here to either Amsterdam or London, and then London or Amsterdam to.
I might be doing that.
When?
for a wedding in December.
Going to a wedding in Africa?
South Africa, yeah.
Well, dude!
Where, in Cape Town?
Cape Town, yeah.
You're going to fucking love it.
I'm going to hate that flight, though.
No, it's not that bad.
Just get a bunch of heroin.
It's two, all it is two bad flights. That's it. Two bad flights. The first one's not that bad. You want me to tell you how I do it? Okay. Take the red eye from L.A. to London. Okay. So what I do, this is the way I work it, is that, like, say the flight leaves at, like, 7 at night. At 11 a.m., I take a Xanax. So I'm not nervous about the flight. And then it gets out of
You're terrified of flying. I'll preface this with that.
Yeah, I'm terrified of flying, by the way. So it gets out of your system around, like, starts to dissipate out of your system around 5 o'clock, right when you should leave the airport, but you still feel relaxed. You get to the airport, you have a couple cocktails, now you're in no danger of overdosing because the Xanax has pretty much run its course through your system. It's already in and out. But you have this layover effect of Xanax in your fat cells that the alcohol attaches to, and you sleep like fucking Jesus Christ the day after he came out of the cave. Like, amazing. You'll sleep the whole flight. And then you get to London, and you go, I just got one more ship flight to take. And you start pounding booze at the airport, get a few pints. No one cuts you off in London.
I'm sure.
But you got to take the
I love how you're worried about being cut off in London.
You need to – but listen to me. This is the important part. In London, you have to go to the duty-free shop and get yourself a small bottle of Jack or a bottle of wine, okay? Then get a thermos and empty it into the thermos. In the bathroom, dump it in the thermos, get rid of the bottle. Then you take the thermos on the plane so that you don't run the risk of getting cut off on that 13-hour flight to South Africa, because you can get cut off, not because you're drinking too much, because they have a limited amount of alcohol to serve everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sitting in coach, they only have allotted you 4 beers. They can't give you more than 4 beers because they only have like fucking 30 beers for the whole plane. They can't give you half of them. So that's why you got to go that. Or you fly first class and you don't have to worry about it. I had an agent one time. He's like, you know what you do? You just get on the plane, and when they take off, you sneak up to first class, get in one of the seats, and just fall asleep. They won't wake you up. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I would never do that. I would never do that.
I'd be too afraid.
Too afraid that they'd be like, you're not supposed to sit here.
Now, I will say this. I hear your plan. Sounds all viable. I got kicked off of a plane for doing virtually that. Wait, had the thermos.
Start
had the thermos.
Over.
Full bottle of wine.
Are you shitting me?
Full bottle of wine. Now,
how fucked up were you?
On a scale of 1 to 10, probably a Z. I was pretty blasted when I got on the plane. But I was in, where the fuck was it? Hollywood, Florida. I was in, you know where Hollywood, Florida is?
Yeah.
It's like on the Gulf side.
Yeah.
I was there. And so I don't know where that flies out of. Maybe Tampa. Maybe I took a car from there
they
to
have
Tampa.
They have an airport in like St. Pete, maybe.
Might have been St. Pete. Might have been there. So it was like an hour away. So I take a car from there, and I'm drinking in the car. You know, not driving.
Yeah.
Sent a car. So I'm drinking in the back of the car. Like, I'm going to time one on for the flight. Problem is, by the time I got to the airport, I had like 2 hours to kill before I board. And I was drinking during the day. Then I was drinking in the car ride. Now I got this time to kill at the airport, so I'm drinking. Now I'm like, fuck, man. I know they're going to cut me off on the flight because that was the thing that was happening to me. I'd always get cut off on flights because I'm like, your eyes shouldn't look like, you know, you got one eye sliding down the side of my face. So I got I bought a thermos thing at the fucking airport, and I bought a bottle of wine and just upside downsies right in the fucking thermos. Then I get on the plane, and from what I was told, I was quite unruly.
That's why you got cut off. That's why
so they come, ladies coming over, and I was getting into it with the person next to me or whatever.
I was getting into it with the person next to me. all of these are fucking like laws. These are my constitution about flying. I don't fucking speak to anyone. I don't talk to anyone.
Well, I don't either, but then you throw fucking 22 drinks in me and now it's like I can't help myself.
I don't drink until my new rule lately is, because I'm trying to cut back my drinking on planes, I don't drink until 30 minutes before we board. That's when I can have my first beer.
Yeah, I started like maybe half a day before, maybe like 12, 13 hours before. I started 8 hours before the car picked me up. So then, like, they didn't even – here's the worst part. This is – actually, it's a badge of honor in a way for a drinker. That's it wasn't like a TS, the sheriff guy that flies on there. It wasn't him that came over to me. It wasn't the stewardess. It's like, sir, we're going to have to ask you to switch seats. The pilot comes back, and he's like, what's in that giant? Dude, it was like the big thermos. You know what I mean? Like with the, like it looked like a mug that like the Incredible Hulk would use.
Yeah.
But in my hand, it looked like a trash can with a handle. What's in your thing? I'm like, oh, just water to Gatorade. Don't even worry about it. So he's like, can I see it? And it's like a, you know, still like 30 ounces of red wine or whatever. It was white wine, I remember.
You're like a wildling getting ready for war.
100%. It's exactly what I look like. And I had a couple arrows in my side. I don't know where those came from. But so the pilot comes back and he's like, I am not putting this plane in the air with you on it.
Holy shit.
So then they stole. So then they kicked me off the plane. I didn't have to go to airport jail, which I was worried about. They just like let me just like wait in the terminal and sober up and catch another flight like 5 hours later. But then I'm like, if I'm getting off the plane, why are you taking my thermos?
Yeah.
And it was like, if you add the crunch the numbers, like airport shit is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
A pack of gum at airport's like $4.
Yeah.
Where it's like, should be like 30 cents.
Those little travel wines. All the wines you had to buy at the bar. Just one more wine, then shove it under your thing and pour it into your fucking thermos.
Dude.
One more wine, please.
I did coke on a plane once. That was the worst move.
Really?
Dude, I had like, I was partying the night before and I was flying to Baltimore. And I was, what club is it? Is there an improv at the in Baltimore?
There was an improv.
That was right by the water, right there.
Comedy Factory. Yeah, there was an improv.
Yeah,
there.
So that's where I was going. This is a long time ago, probably 12, 13 years ago. And I had like coke, like a little bit of cocaine left over from like partying like the night before, or two nights earlier, or something. Yeah. So I'm like, man, I'm gonna take that with me to Baltimore. So I put it under my balls, in my like under my underwear, in under my balls, kind of like walk through. And this is before like they're scanning you and all this shit. So it's pretty easy to do. And then I'm on the plane to pop a couple cocktails, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I got that coke under my balls. I got that ball coke.
Yeah.
So I go in the bathroom. It wasn't a lot, but I just fucking polish it off in the bathroom. The worst plan of all time. Here's what cocaine people on coke want to do. Move, smoke, and talk. Those are the three things you can't do on a red-eye flight from Los Angeles to Baltimore.
It's a red-eye?
Yeah. So I'm just sitting there like, fuck, man, land this motherfucker, land. Couldn't talk to anybody. You know, they're not serving booze. Everyone's sleeping. I couldn't smoke. I wanted to smoke a cigarette. That's the most I've ever wanted a cigarette in my life was that 4.5 hour flight to Baltimore.
Oh, that's so fucking funny.
And I just had to just for 4 hours let these like 2.5 lines of cocaine just sweat out of me.
My only goal in inebriation on a plane is to go to sleep. I just want to sleep.
See, that's where we differ. That's how you know you're not an alcoholic.
I just want to go to sleep.
You want to knock down for enough drinks that you're just like, I'm going to bed.
I
want to get into an adventure once I hit that point.
I won't sleep. Like tomorrow we have an early flight, and I'll stay up late and get on the treadmill. I'll probably have a bottle of wine tonight on the treadmill watching something. I was watching.
You'll have a bottle of wine while you're on the treadmill?
I did it last night. I love it. I love it. I get up there. I crack a bottle of wine.
Dude, you have to post a video of you on a treadmill knocking down wine.
I was watching.
Is that counteractive?
Doug Stanhope was. Yeah. I'm sure it's. I'm not burning any calories. But Doug Stanhope was on. I put on a hoodie and a fucking sauna suit last night.
Okay.
And so I get on the hoodie, on the sauna suit. I get the bottle of wine. I just put a glass up there, but I have the bottle next to me. And then Stanhope did all his press yesterday for.
Yeah, I saw he was on Stern.
That's why I listened to Stern. I listened to Opie and Jim with him. I was going to find Artie's, but I don't think he ended up doing it. But, and I just go up and I just like get all my media in. And I know that a bottle of wine to everyone else is a fucking lot, but for me, when you're working out, if you have a bottle of wine with some water, it's not that much. And then you go to sleep fucking sound. And I slept like a dream, but I'll do it tonight and I'll stay up late. I'll stay up till like 2 a.m. So I get up, we get to the airport, and then we'll go to the Delta Crown Room where you can make your own cocktails, and I'll pour. Probably.
Oh, really? Is that what they do in there?
Yeah, lately. It's just all open. It's all open. You just make
your
own drink.
So you just walk in, there's like a liquor bar, liquor cabinet, and you just grab some ice and...
Grab some ice. I'll make a couple drinks.
What's your go-to drink? Top three go-to drinks. Not beer, not wine.
I was talking about this with someone yesterday. I was talking with AJ Hawk about it. Oh. He was like, are you a whiskey guy? Are you a beer guy? Like, I think the fucked up part about me is I look at the bar sometimes and I go, what will I have tonight? Like, because I enjoy the fun
variety
of a libation.
Yes.
Like, I enjoy a White Russian every now and then.
Ooh, I haven't had a White Russian in a long time. I was on a White Russian kick.
Everyone has like a White Russian kick.
Yeah, for like a year, that was my go-to.
Micheladas, that's one of my go-to drinks.
Really? I never loved it.
I loved it because I love all the salt.
Love the tomato.
Yeah, and then I went into a real big Bloody Mary kick for a while.
Okay.
Like tomorrow I'll probably get there, and maybe now that you're saying that, I might have a Bloody Mary tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And then have a couple Bloody Marys, probably doubles, so, you know, they're strong.
Always doubles.
Get on the plane, pass out, get up, go to a friend's house in Atlanta, probably have drinks at dinner tomorrow night. But, like, yeah, but, like, I don't need to, I don't know, I think it's the older I get, too, is the more it really kind of weighs me down, like, flying and drinking. And in all honesty, that's part of the reason I've tried to cut back on my drinking on planes, is because the fucking hangover was insurmountable. Like, I could not rebound the next day. Like, Monday after flying on a Sunday, and then coming home and everyone's at my house and we're all drinking, it was, like, fucking unbearable. I was like, I need to get a hold of, like, getting on a plane. I need to be getting on.
A bottle of scotch and hit the treadmill.
I was like, I need to be able to get on a plane with not being fucking blitzed. There was a period of time in my life where I had to take a Xanax and drink, like, as many beers as I could put into my system. Like, when I did Last Comic Standing 2, I took a Xanax before we got to the airport because I was nervous. I took a Xanax at the airport, so now I've got, like, probably 2 milligrams of Xanax in my body, and I started putting back beers aggressively. Then when we landed, they had to hold us at a bar because I guess they needed to hold us at a bar until everything got ready. I put back beers at the bar. I mean, I was so fucked up that I'm like, thank God they didn't take me. I was well into whatever a Xanax alcohol addiction was right then.
Mm.
And so
that's a dicey combo,
too. My sister said what changed it was, my sister said she would never pick me up again at the airport if I continued to take Xanax. She's like, I don't even know who I'm talking to. It's sad.
Because you were zonked out?
I was roofying myself. I was making myself not remember anything, so I would just be like, "Harsher of her," and so I stopped Xanax altogether. I haven't really. I have it. I'll take it from time to time, but, like, I don't fucking take it and drink at all.
Right.
Like, I'll do it the night before a flight, and then wake up still in your system, take a drink.
When I went to rehab, I almost missed my flight, which was also a red eye. I almost missed my flight because I was sitting at the bar knocking them down.
Really?
Yeah, because it was like,
Case scenario.
Every voice in my head had agreed, this is our last stand. Like, when this plane lands, party's over.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, and they're like, last call for flight 275 to hell. And I'm just like, I can see the gate. I don't see any door locked yet. You know, and I was like, let me get one more double Jack. And I was drinking Jack Rocks.
Yeah.
So a double Jack Rocks. And I put a straw in it and just, like, super sucked that fucker down. And then I, like, right when they were closing the door, just ran, got on, and then knocked about 5 or 6 down on the plane.
That's fucking insane. Yeah, I've definitely been there. I've been to the place where in the Miami airport one time, I was flying, and I think I was back when I didn't realize Red Bull would fuck with my anxiety. And I went and did morning radio at Paul and Young Ron. I had a bunch of Red Bulls to do morning radio. And then they started giving me beers on air. And then I had to take a limo back to Miami. I had some beers in there. And then I get to the airport, and I'm like, but I'm not buzzed because I got all that Red Bull in me. And so I try to start throwing back vodka cranberries to get a buzz, and I hadn't been upgraded. And I was like sitting coach in the back of the plane, and I'm like, motherfucker, it's a 777. They had given away all the business class seats. Sometimes they'll do that if they don't have business class service. They'll just sell I'm making this too long. But I go into the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to fucking throw up. I was like, I'm going to throw. I was like, I literally was like, what the fuck is wrong with me that I'm at an airport and I'm so afraid to fly, I'm willing to make myself physically fucking ill before getting on a plane thinking that will fix this.
What's your favorite airport in America?
Dallas is my favorite one.
Least favorite?
I got a few.
Yeah.
That
Atlanta one's pretty nightmarish.
LaGuardia.
Oh, yeah.
LaGuardia is the worst airport in this world. And there's no questions asked. They don't sell alcohol past security.
Uh-huh.
They've set it up back to the 1970s where all the bars are outside. Uh-huh. So it's and it's the lines are long. It's all crammed in. They don't even have services past security sometimes. Uh-huh. You can't even get food past security
so
sometimes.
So stupid.
Yeah. They need to fucking tear that place down and build
it. And it's
brand
such a
new.
Scam with, like, you have a giant bottle of water that you just paid $4 for, and then you're going through, like, sir, you have to throw that out. It's like, what the fuck am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
All you want me to do is cross your little shitty line and pay another $7 right there for water.
It's ridiculous. That LaGuardia is the worst airport in the world. JFK is a pretty great airport. I love it. I wish it was constructed a little better in the American terminal in that they have two chunks. So, like, if you're new to airlines, to JFK, you will get fucking lost.
Yeah.
You'll be like,
because you always go to the wrong one.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm here, and you don't realize you got to travel under a tunnel and get to the other side.
Yeah,
but Dallas is great because there's so much services there.
Denver's great.
The Tokyo airport's fucking the best.
Really, we talked about this on your pod. I've always wanted to go to Tokyo.
Tokyo podcast airport's best. They got hotel rooms in it.
Seoul does too. Yeah. Seoul, Korea.
So, yeah, I've been to Seoul. Seoul's great. The food in Seoul, the Seoul airport's amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That food in the airport's amazing.
Cape Town airport is, I'm trying to remember. Cape Town airport's okay. It's not the best. It's kind of like, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's kind of like Heathrow. Heathrow's an okay airport, except you got to go through security twice. But the last time I flew into Heathrow, my flight was running late. I fly so much, they do give me this thing called a concierge key.
Mm-hmm.
And they met me at the gate with a Range Rover. Took me off the plane, down the stairs, into the Range Rover, drove me around all the stuff, processed me when I got to the next gate, and put me on the plane. It was a fucking big, greatest experience.
James Laurinaitis, his father is Hawk from whatchamacallit. That's the linebacker. And now he's with the Rams. And I think he just signed with somebody else. Laurinaitis just left, and maybe he's like with the Patriots or somebody weird. But yeah, James Laurinaitis, it's his dad. Thank you, James, for saying that. I knew it was somebody. And he was Animal from Legion of Doom is James Laurinaitis' dad.
Who's James Laurinaitis?
Linebacker. He was with the Rams forever and just left this year.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, great linebacker. I was actually surprised they let him go. And that's got to suck. To be like in St. Louis all your career and a great linebacker. And he's not old. He's not like long in the tooth. He's not, you know.
Yeah.
He's probably right in the prime of his career. Maybe he's an 8-year vet. And you go, good news, man. The team's moving to Los Angeles, a cool, warm town. You're not in St. Louis anymore. Nothing in St. Louis, but it's not the weather of Los Angeles.
Oh.
And, but you, see you, kid. We're sending you somewhere else.
Where's he going now?
I can't remember where he went. Somewhere. I think Patriots. I think he went to the Patriots.
Oh, that's not bad.
The land of just retreads.
Yeah.
You know,
if you could play one sport, one city, where would you play? What would you play?
Oh, shit. And I would be, like, good at it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a good question because I would love...
You got to be white, though.
Oh, that changes everything. you know what would be great? Because I tell you this. I mean, it would be so exciting to... We always ask this question, similar to question. Would you rather hit a World Series winning home run, NBA Finals winning three-pointer, or, like, an interception for a touchdown that wins the Super Bowl, or a... You know, catch
home run. Home run. No questions asked.
You think so?
No questions asked.
Why?
Because for 30 seconds after you've done that, you are celebrated individually for 30 seconds as you run those bases. As you run those bases, it is nothing but you getting rained down on you.
Yeah.
You want it, and you just get to go. Like, that's everyone wants that. Take a lap. Like, that victory lap.
Sure.
You get your victory lap by yourself. You sink the shot, everyone tackles you.
Yeah.
You catch the interception, you're going to get tackled, and everyone piles on you.
Yeah.
But, man, that home run.
I could see that.
You did that. You did that, and just you. It wasn't a bad throw by the quarterback.
I would probably pick that, too. But as far as your question, if I really think about it, I mean, quarterback would be great. Playing quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, which is my favorite team. I would love to do that if I'd be awesome. But if you really think about the money, the low side of injury, and the longevity of which you can play and earn money, it would be pretty awesome to be the best golfer in the world. Because you can play in the pro tours for 20-something years and then play in the senior tour from 50 on.
I wouldn't mind being... pro golfer, what city would you live in?
I mean, everybody there is Florida.
I'm
but I'd probably be somewhere out here.
I wouldn't mind that. I'll tell you what, pro golfer out of Vegas, where all the celebrities come in and they want to have, and you get to hang out with whoever you want, play around with Charles Barkley or whoever.
Palm Springs or something like that would be cool too, because you're off the grid.
Golfer Palm Springs would be pretty great.
Yep.
I'd probably end up golfer Orlando. Pro surfer Hawaii wouldn't be bad, because it's all respect.
Dude, pro surfer, I didn't even think about that. But how much money can you make as a pro surfer?
I don't know. Let's Google Kelly Slater's net worth.
Can you make million? I mean, it's all... Yeah. That's all endorsement money.
It's endorsements, but so you're Kelly Slater. What's Kelly Slater's net worth? Let's see. Kelly Slater. If you... Pro surfer in Hawaii, you get the respect from everyone that lives on the island. You get the respect from all the people that love surfing. You get... That's just fucking respect on respect. Let's see.
I'm getting baseball star in
Boston.
$20
million.
$20 million, that's his net worth.
Kelly Slater's worth $20 million. Okay, let's run the sports then.
There's
let's
no sharks in golf, though.
Good
Except
call.
Except for Greg Norman.
Good fucking call.
Except for Greg Norman.
You never have the chance that you'd go to work and lose a leg.
I know.
Good fucking call. I didn't even think about that.
It does happen.
I mean, you could.
And you can drown.
There are alligators.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, you're going to play professional basketball.
You'd easily pick baseball, right, Aaron?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, this is
what city? What city?
Would you play for the Cardinals? Yeah. You're a big fan.
No.
Although it's shitty in the summer, though. Like, it's fucking humid as fuck.
I'd love to play for the Cubs, man. Play at Wrigley Field all the time.
Yankees.
It's always day games, though.
Yeah.
Yankees, all that tradition.
If I could play anywhere, I'd probably want to be a Dodger.
Really?
Here in L.A.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
They ain't afraid to cut a check either.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Dodger would be cool.
Padre. I mean, I love the Padres Park, but
it is a cool. Petco Park is badass.
Yeah, it's shitty to hit in, though.
Yeah, but it is nice.
Yeah.
I can tell you who I wouldn't want to play for, the Expos.
I wouldn't want, yeah.
Are they gone now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're way gone.
They're gone.
Well, who took the Expos? The Nationals?
They're the Nationals, yeah.
Yep.
It kind of stinks.
Toronto would be cool, though. It's a cool city.
Yeah, but... Yeah,
playing on turf, though.
Yeah. Canadians are so nice, though.
Toronto would be a badass place to fucking live. Okay, what football, where would you want to live? I've always said... I'm gonna take it one step further. I would like to be the quarterback for the Dolphins in 1982.
Why? Just because those receivers? That's when
Hooters opened up and everyone's wearing short shorts and
fucking guy
and Miami Vice is going down and cocaine's coming through.
That was a time when nobody even thought cocaine had any bad side effects.
No,
and it's like, it's a little pick me up. Nothing bad will happen to me.
And you got great.
How about AIDS?
You got fishing. You got fucking hunting. You got hot Latino chicks.
What's it, a hunt in Miami?
Oh, fucking, you can go hog hunting. You can go deer
Cubans,
hunting.
Cubans?
There's tons of hunting in Florida. But that would be, like, that would be my dream is, like, those have, like, those short Miami shorts and, like, big arms and I'm wearing, like, a half jersey, you know?
You're tipping the scales at about 190.
Oh, dude, I'm 200 fucking yoked. Half shirt. I got glasses on with the little croquis on the back. I got a Ferrari.
The difference between 82 fashion and fashion today is just homosexuality.
Yeah.
Like, you could, you're a straight person in 82 dressing like that, but you dress like that today, you're definitely gobbling some dongs.
Oh. Okay, so where would you want to play football?
Probably Atlanta Falcons, just because it's always been my favorite team. I would also... Wouldn't mind playing for the Rams here with that new stadium coming out.
It'd be
nice
to be that new quarterback kid.
Oh, man. Goff. Good for him.
How great is that? His life's going to be – his dick's going to be pruned from pussy.
Blah, 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 blah. And he's a good-looking kid. And he's from California.
Is he?
Yeah, he's from California. Right. Played at Cal. I think he grew up in the Bay Area. He's just moving from here.
Let's really buy the dream, okay?
Okay.
You just got drafted to play quarterback for the Rams.
Okay.
How much did he get? How much did he get, the golf kid?
He probably 20-ish something.
$20 million. First five things you buy.
Wow, that's great. Wow. Definitely like a, I'd probably go first car. I'd probably go like a, those, I love those M6s, those BMW sportier SUV ones, not the big gas guzzler ones, but the sportier ones. Definitely a badass house.
Where are you buying
Probably Malibu.
Yeah, Malibu.
Yeah.
It's Malibu.
It sure
it's
is, dude.
It's fucking Malibu, man.
Big time.
Fuck
and
yeah.
It's out of the way. Calabasas is nice, too.
No. I'm going Malibu. On the beach,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You probably can't get that for $20
million. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah,
You can spread that out. You know,
Malibu on the beach. I'm getting...
God, could you imagine just walking out your back patio and just walking down the beach?
And you have a great body.
Dog.
You have a great body.
Yes.
You've got chicks coming in and out. The cool chicks, because you're a professional football player. It's not like those skanks that are like...
None of these dummies that we're all hooking up with now.
I bleached my asshole. Like, not that. We're talking high-end, like fucking reporters from KCAL9. and then you get... Okay, these are my five purchases. House in Malibu.
Yep, check.
I can't get an Escalade because there's too many Escalades around. What I get is I get a Suburban... And I get it fucking
blacked out.
Murdered out, mm-hmm. But big tires, big fucking, like, big everything. Like, fucking roof rack, and because I'm putting surfboards
course,
up there.
100%.
But do you
even need to put, I guess if you go surfing elsewhere.
Yeah, I just have it.
Why not?
I keep a couple extra boards up there.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a dog. That's the next thing I buy.
Dog, yep.
Dog
is in my top five. Especially if I'm on the beach in Malibu, you can just walk your dog. Absolute dog.
I'm buying a Connie Corso. That's the dog I'm buying. Really expensive, high-end, like, protection dog. I need that in the house.
Then I'm going to buy a hawk and some chickens.
I wouldn't mind buying a bird of prey, like an owl.
What the fuck you could do with an owl,
just
bro?
Just have them fucking perched up on my...
Now, you had that. You told that story when we did your pod about you had, like, that falcon glove and an owl.
Hunting with owls.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would maybe... What would be... Okay, those are my three purchases. What else do I need?
I would fucking... easily spend about $40,000 on an insane wardrobe. Everything fitted, everything perfect.
Not me. I'm board shorts and tank tops all day. Dude, Think about my body. I'm a quarterback for the fucking Rams. I look great.
I would G up like a motherfucker.
Board shorts,
look like I was on
flip-flops.
GQ every day. I would wear that around the crib.
I'd wear that everywhere. I'd roll into clubs, board shorts.
You know what else I would drop money on? A fucking personal chef. That's just always at the house hooking it up.
Yeah. Okay, hold on one second.
Until one of these dingbat twats decides to fucking get her shit together and learn how to make a sandwich!
God damn it. God, man, I can imagine my life if I'm this kid. I wake up every morning, I go paddleboarding, my dog runs on the beach. I paddle out paddleboard parallel, and my dog runs on the beach and watches me.
Yeah.
And then I come back, I get off, I play with him for a little bit, we play in the water, I come in, my chick's just waking up, I got caveman coffee.
Caveman coffee. Let me ask you a question. In this dream scenario of yours, what has happened to your wife and children?
Oh, they're gone. I've upgraded. I'm talking to Monica Vasquez from KCAL9.
Yeah.
Like, and then I come in, and I'm like, and my chef's going like, hey, Bert. I've made you egg whites, asparagus, and some buffalo. Really, I made some buffalo mozzarella to put on top of it. Your 1,200 calories for the day. This is part of it. And I go, great. My assistant comes in, and my assistant's like, coach called, and they need you down there for a helmet fitting. I don't even know. I don't know why. This is how far out of the dream I am. A helmet fitting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so you're like, all right.
And you got a big-ass head, so they might have to suture two helmets together into one super helmet.
Oh, I'm also getting a high-end doctor who can clean out my liver because I'm going to be partying hard as fuck. I'm getting a high-end personal doctor who hangs out at my house and just, like, Michael Jackson's me to sleep at night and cleans out my liver and cleans out all my body because I'm getting fucked up because in this dream I've already told my chick, listen – I'm going to go run down to the new stadium that they're building or run down to the practice squad place. I'm going to get fitted for my helmet. I'm going to come back. Let's go paddleboarding at night. How about this? We bring a bottle of Prosecco out with us. We'll paddleboard. The dog will follow us. We'll come back. We'll have some friends over, some of the receivers. I want to get connected with them and their wives.
Yep.
And we're going to grill out on the beach, and we're getting fucking blitzed tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to be this kid.
God, me too. Now, the problem is that now you have dabbled into a little bit of the Johnny Manziel zone.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I think he had this plan in college, and none of the plans revolved around football playing too much.
You're right. You're right.
Did you see when he rented that house in? Oh, by the way, he's dumb fuck of the year for me in sports.
I can't. You know what? There's a couple things that I don't believe. I just don't believe.
Like one, what?
I don't believe that Jared really that's real. Like, I can't believe that's real. That Jared from Subway fucked those kids. Like, I have such a I obviously it's real. It happened.
Is it because of your love of sandwiches?
No. No, but I literally, every time I hear that, I go, I literally still have a hard time believing it, where I go, obviously I know it's true. I know that happened. I don't think anyone's lying. I don't think there's a conspiracy. But I just say, that guy? Really? And, same thing with Johnny Manziel. I go, really?
Here's how I know Johnny
really is addicted to drugs?
Here's how I know Johnny Manziel is true. Because all of his childhood friends, all of his ex-teammates from Texas A&M, his old coach at Texas A&M, his old Cleveland teammates that were close to him, are all publicly saying they're worried about him. And they're not coming out and going, hey, man, this isn't true. I talked to him yesterday, yeah, and he's totally fine, and he's in football shape. They're all going, he hasn't returned my call in 6 months. I'm worried. His dad is publicly saying, I'm worried for his life.
How does that happen?
Fucking addict is how
but
it
how,
happens.
But how does he become... How was he so good and so put together, and then things just fell apart? How is that even possible?
I mean,
is he really an addict?
I mean, he's I'll tell you, I don't personally know him, so I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah.
But I will say, as somebody in recovery and somebody that has the behavior of an addict myself, the writing's on the wall, dude.
Really?
He rented a house in Westwood. Did you hear about that? He rents his house in Westwood and throws a party, and the person, it was like a high-end Airbnb, sort of a mansion in Westwood, throws a party. He's supposed to be out at noon on Monday. The person that rented it, the realtor person, shows up at noon to make sure he left the key in the box or whatever he's supposed to do, and there's champagne glasses in the tree. How do you get champagne glasses in a tree?
I don't know, but I can tell you
this. The place is destroyed.
I want to be at that party when someone's like, fuck it.
Yeah, me too.
And you got Johnny Manziel, one of the better arms in the game, tossing champagne bottles up the trees.
I'm not saying it didn't sound fun.
Oh, yeah.
She comes in. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He's an hour and a half after he's supposed to have been out. He's passed out on the floor. Another guy's passed out on the floor. I believe Josh Gordon was there, who's also got a whirlwind of trouble.
Josh Groban?
Gordon.
Who's that?
He's the receiver for the Browns who got suspended for a year for drugs and alcohol violation, multiple violations. So he's supposed to be on the clean.
God damn.
And he's passed out, and she's like, there's broken glass everywhere. There's hundreds of beer bottles everywhere. Johnny Manziel, there's cocaine and pot everywhere and mushrooms everywhere. And piles of cocaine in the kitchen, she said. And he's passed out on the couch. Somebody else has passed out on the floor. And she's like, I can't wake him up.
Oh.
So she's suing him for $30,000 worth of damages that he did to this mansion.
But all I heard
in a two-day party.
All I heard is, I want to be able to sleep like that. you could totally wake me up.
Right.
I don't sleep that well if I've been partying that hard. I barely sleep at all.
Now, I noticed that you
everyone is talking about Johnny Manziel. And he gets served by a lawsuit while he really is a fucking mess.
He's a mess, man. He was in Vegas. They found saw him in Vegas. I saw, I don't know if it was TMZ or Bleacher Report or, one of those things that kind of goes around the circuit. Picture of him walking out of a nightclub. Or no, he was at one of those day party pool places, they always have in Vegas where there's DJs and a bunch of shitty people. By the way, the most disgusting water.
That's where I get sober.
The most
if I go to one of those
water.
Sober me up real quick. I'm like, this is not what I planned on.
Who wants to get in a pool with a bunch of drunk people pissing all the time?
Not even Skrillex could get me to that fucking party.
Straight up, bro. So yeah. He's coming out of there, bro, and he looks like, I don't want to say he wasn't so skinny that he looked like he had AIDS, but he did not look like he was in good shape. I mean, he looked gaunt.
Jesus
gaunt.
How does that,
he had just a bathing suit on? And so, he's shirtless did not look like he could in any way, shape, and form play football, let alone take a hit.
It's so funny. I always think, if I was a professional athlete, I'd just be working out all the fucking time. I'd be like, no, this is what I do. Now when I feel like I work out, I go, I'm lazy. I should be writing. What am I doing? Like, fuck working out. That's a shallow pursuit for me. Like, it's just to get healthier, but like, what am I going to do, kettlebells? I'm fucking 43. I don't fight. Like, what am I, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever thought about just to keep your hands free when you're working out on the treadmill, one of those baseball hats that have beers with straws that come right into your mouth, and now you don't have to worry about pouring shit and...
I have not.
just throwing ideas out there for you, brother.
I have a straw phobia.
What are you afraid of straws
I'm afraid
for?
Of
You're
straws.
Afraid of so many crazy
I'm
things.
I'm afraid of straws, balloons. Like I'm really afraid of balloons.
Why
like,
are you afraid of balloons?
Camelbacks? I can't fuck with a camelback. Like that
yeah,
straw
where
like
you're,
that
where you're jogging.
Freaks me the fuck out.
What freaks you out about
just
straws, dude?
Sucking it. Just sucking and having stuff come in your mouth while you suck.
Does it make you think about dicks?
It makes me. I don't know. I used to have a really, like, it's so funny, like,
sucking something and then getting your mouth full of liquid sounds like it makes you fear of dicks.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Like, it sounds exactly like it.
Sounds like I was molested and I don't remember it.
It's really, really, and your fear of Jared, and you're like, I don't know if people, that really happened.
I mean, no, I can't believe, I still can't believe that guy fucked kids. Like, that's something that you just, it's like, you know who else fucked kids? The principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I don't even remember what that guy looks like.
By the way, allegedly. I don't know if that's true.
Right.
Well, did we check that?
Anybody can sue Punch Drunk all you want. The only thing you're going to get is maybe a couple bottles of water.
Like, I think the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off? No. Maybe it's the...
He was definitely accused and possibly convicted on pornography.
Child pornography. Like, that fucking... That is unforgivable to me. And so, I think that's a big step of a fucking statement. It's unforgivable to everybody. But, like... There's not a bunch of people going, I mean...
And the kid was hot. You know, he was a cute kid in his defense.
Yeah, the kid, you coach all day. You don't have time to go out into the bars and meet girls.
Who doesn't want their dick sucked by a 9-year-old?
Exactly.
A 9-year-old with a mean curveball. Don't fucking think you're fucking these kids that can't throw a baseball.
Like, Johnny Manziel kind of breaks my heart a little bit. Because I go...
I feel for him. I do feel for him. I never liked him in college. I didn't like him as a pro. I didn't like his attitude in any way, shape, or form. I did predict this would happen.
Really?
I sure did on this show. Because, you know why? I'll tell you why. He was a rich kid growing up. His dad was a millionaire.
Oh, really?
Yep, millionaire. So he always was that kid that played quarterback. His dad was a millionaire, you know. I can picture him driving like a brand new black cherried out Jeep.
Wow.
So he grew up rich as a rich kid. And then he went to... Texas A&M, played quarterback there, but he had a lot of motherfucking weapons there. All those receivers, that tight end, that whole offensive line all went pro.
Really?
You know, all that whole team went pro. And, you know, it's not like he took a small school. It's not like he's RG3 at Baylor where he took the whole thing on his shoulders. And a lot of teams were kind of staying away from him. You know, a lot of teams didn't want to draft him. A lot of teams were like, I don't know, man. He's got this reputation as this entitled rich kid who can't take direction.
An oil guy.
Yep. Who can't take direction. And that's what we saw, man.
He also, like, got in trouble a lot for trying to, like, sell his autograph. And,
Yep. And that's where all this shit came from. He was selling his autograph in college.
This bums me out so fucking much.
Why?
Because here's the thing. I don't read much of the news. So, like, I just kind of...
I'm getting that.
I just hear the stories of like, God, it seems like the Browns are really down on this Manziel guy.
Yeah.
Why won't they just give him another chance? Let him start. I did the same thing with
Tebow. They gave him 70 chances. Tebow's a different story. Tebow's the other end of the spectrum. Tebow's not an NFL quarterback. He was a college quarterback. Everyone wants to talk about the one time when he won that one game on a bomb. And Tebow's, I think he would be a fantastic coach.
Yeah,
I think Tim Tebow would be a fantastic football coach.
He'd be like Steve Spurrier.
I think he would be a great college, maybe even pro. He's just so motivational, but the guy just loves Jesus too much, man. The guy loves Jesus too much.
It's almost different ends of the spectrum, him and Manziel.
George Carlin had this great joke about, I think it was Carlin, about how everybody thanks Jesus when sports teams go good, but nobody blames him when it goes bad.
Yeah.
Where he's like, hey, what happened today? Everything was going great till Jesus made me drop that touchdown pass.
What was it? Attell says, I can't remember his joke. I've wanted to share this because it was one of the smartest things I heard. Did I tell you this already about Big J's crossover effect that Ron Bennington said?
No.
So Big J.
He was on last week, I think.
Big on J. This?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Big J, for those of you who don't know, but I think everyone probably does, started in black clubs and then had to try to work himself into white clubs mm-hmm. and had a hard time.
And he's a white guy.
And he's a white guy.
Yeah, yeah. He's a big white guy.
And he had a hard time crossing over, and Ron Bennington was interviewing him, and he said, the only person that had a harder time crossing over than you was Tarzan. It was such a great fucking line. I
That's
was like,
really funny.
Shit.
That's really funny.
God damn it. So Manziel's got money.
Yeah. Update on Jeffrey Jones, the principal from Ferris Bueller.
Yep,
2003, arrested for possession of child porn, soliciting a 14-year-old boy to pose for photos.
Oh,
he yeah. did not, no contest, settled out of court with the
boy's
the
family.
Boy. Has to register as a sex offender, was arrested twice in 2010 for failing to update his offender status in Florida and California. So
okay.
he's out there. But, yeah, he's guilty.
He just keeps forgetting to register.
Doing dinner
sex
theaters.
Offender.
Yeah.
Hoping no one's Googled him in a while.
You know anybody that has to register as a sex offender?
I do. I know a guy that went to jail for raping a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know two guys who went to jail for raping a girl. They drugged her and raped her.
I know two guys that went to jail for having sex with a 17-year-old.
Really?
Consensual, and they both thought... They were older, but they both coincidentally had to go. One went to they both for about a year,
and
they had to register as sex offenders.
It's so funny this guy
because their parents read their textings with them, and then they were like, "Oh shit, this guy's a fucking," you know.
It's so funny. One of the guys that raped this girl, and the other guy I knew them both.
It was like a roofie rape situation. Was it the same girl? They both raped her.
Yeah, I think so.
Different situations.
I think so. I think they both raped her at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Whatever, I don't know what the... But it's so funny is that... And I don't know all the facts to it, to be honest with you, but
sure.
I do know he went to jail. I do know he went to jail.
Right.
And I am always stunned. Like, every time I see him, he always sees me. He's like, hey, man, I just cannot talk to him. Because I go, you have that in your heart. I don't know if I could ever be friends with you. But I'm always shocked that my other friends still talk to him.
Yeah.
That, like, they're like, well, you know, people make mistakes. And I'm like, no, we never made that mistake. I never took advantage of somebody.
There are some mistakes that are pretty big.
Yeah.
Character-defining mistakes.
100%. Like that kid, the Stanford kid?
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny because I'm waiting to hear someone defend the kid, but there's no defense in it. It's like, man, there's one thing you do when a chick passes out, and that is you make sure she's safe.
Yes, that's it.
Do not, like, that is a character-defining mistake.
Absolutely.
When a girl passes out, you make sure she's safe.
Yep.
That's it.
Put her in a room, shut the door, get a fan on her, get some water by
Maybe
the bed.
Maybe go down to the beach and jack off.
Again.
I've been there. But
yeah.
Like, there's been times where it gets hot and heavy, and they pass out at the last minute, and you're like, fuck!
Yep.
And you're like, but I can't fucking take advantage. That's just...
Nope. Nope.
It's so fucking bizarre. Nope.
And I tell you this, potential rapers out there, if you're listening to Bert and I, and you just take that moment and be like, okay, she's passed out, take care of her, treat her nice, treat her like a person, like you would want to be treated if you passed out. What if you passed out and you woke up and your buddy's all beat off on you? You'd be like, what? Do that when I'm awake, assholes. But if you... You know, put her in the bed, put a fan on her, give her some water, make sure she's okay. Guess who she's going to be dying to fuck the next day or the next day after that? The guy that was a gentleman.
Yeah. Trust me when I say, out of any of the people you're going to hear, we have probably been in more sketchy sex situations where everyone's fucked up and you're at spring break and all these girls are naked and your hormones are fucking firing and everyone's doing drugs.
Dude, I lived with Tara Patrick in Miami for 2 weeks.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We're not strangers to being around those situations. And that's a good point because a lot of those instances, it's guys that just can't, they're not in that situation. They got this girl. They're already hard. They're probably 19. You know how dumb you were every boner you had when you were 19?
Yeah.
I'm dumb at 43 when I'm hard.
I'm very dumb at 43. I'm very dumb.
Me too. I'm getting dumber.
I'm definitely getting dumber.
You think you are?
Oh, God. I just stopped caring entirely about learning anything new. Like, I only want to learn shit that really affects me.
Yeah.
All the shit, I'm Googling nasal polyps yesterday because I snore, and I was like, motherfucker, if I have these, I'm getting rid of them tomorrow. Like, that's what
are you a hypochondriac? Bro, I was convinced all weekend long that I had cancer. I'm Googling cancer. I'm going, because like, I've been like, I don't know what it is. And it, please, I know it's going to start raining AIDS on me right now. But I've been having, like, for the last, like, 2 weeks, occasionally, like, night sweats. And I'm not talking about night sweats that, like, oh, man, I'm kind of sweaty. I'm like, I was sleepwalking, stood in the shower for a few minutes, and then went back to bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe you're going through menopause.
Well, this happened to me, which is so funny because I was raised by lesbians, that when I was 40, this happened. When I turned 40, this started happening, and I went to the doctor, and I was real worried about it. And so I got every kind of test you can, got my blood work back, and he goes, and all women in my house, my grandmother, my two moms, and my sister, that's how I grew up, no men in my house whatsoever. Even our dog was a girl. And the doctor's like looking at the thing like a week later, but I have to get blood work back, and he goes, everything looks normal except you have the estrogen level of a woman going through menopause.
Shut up.
And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I've actually, in a man, I've never seen anything like this. And I was like, those fucking cunts boomeranged me again. I just can't get away from it.
All right, I got to go get my hair cut.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here,
too. This has been fucking great.
Dude, I love you, Bert.
If you guys want to hear more of what me and Deeb hang out like, or sound like just hanging out, check out my podcast this week. Drops Wednesday.
All right.
The Bertcast.
I had a great time on
it. All things comedy.
Thank you for coming in. I'm sorry Ari and Sam couldn't make it today.
Yeah, what happened to Sam? He totally flaked.
Well, he had a call with Comedy Central at 12:15, so he's like, I'm going to try to wrap that up and get there. But he probably hit the like point of no return where it's like 1:30. Bro, by the time I get there. So go to samtripleylive.com if you want to check out his dates. Go check out Ari in Seattle. Go check out Bert and all of his fucking...
I'm in Orlando this week. If you're in Orlando, come down. I kind of want to do a meetup at a bar tonight in L.A. if anyone's in L.A. Hit me on Twitter and tell me you're interested. There's this new bar that just opened by my house. It's called the Idle House over on, I think, Vineland or Lancashire. I think on Vineland
wanna
or Lancashire.
Want to give out your personal address?
Yeah.
Why not? Guys, go to betdsi.com. Use the code PUNCHDRUNK. That gets you $10 free to gamble with. I hope somebody took my advice last week and put money on the Cavs winning two in a row. Few of you guys tweeted at me and said thanks and that you won some cash. So I hope everybody else made some money on that. Go to cavemancoffee.com. cavemancoffeeco.com.
Oh, those little nitros?
Yeah. Oh, the best!
And the black... coffee. The coffee in the black thing.
Yep, the black bag.
Yeah, that's the one we like.
Yeah, I like that more than like the one in the white one. That one, the black one's good. But those nitros are delicious. I'm trying
to get them to solve it. Their cold brew concentrate is fucking phenomenal.
Yep, I just had some of that too. Tripoli had a bunch of that. I'm trying to get them to sell those nitros at the Comedy Store. I'm talking to the GM about having that.
Yeah.
Because, dude, the coffee they have there is shitty, and I appreciate it because it's free every time for me. But for the people that don't drink, and there's a lot of sober people that hang out at the store... Give me something that's going to fuck me up and not get me to lose my apartment.
Lots of punch drunk tweets. Fuck yeah. Hit me up. Guys, we're going to fucking destroy Tom Segura.
Yeah,
I'm shooting
dude.
A video and I need your help.
We're going to have UFC 220 is going to be Fighter and the Kid versus Punch Drunk, Tom Segura versus Bert Kreischer, and then we'll send Sam Tripoli headlining versus Ari Shaffir. We're going to have Sam fight first, Ari, because what Fighter and the Kid are going to do to his face, it's he's not going to be able to fight.
It's going to be bad.
So go to cavemancoffeeco.com, use the code PUNCHDRUNK there as well. That saves you $15. Do not use the code Fighter and the Kid. Those guys have three Porsches. There's only two of them. They do not need more money. They already have the Malibu house. They already have the dog following along the beach while they're paddling around. Help us, motherfuckers. Let us live the fucking dream. If you're going to do any shopping on Amazon, go to punchdrunksports.com. Click the Amazon link there. That'll send you to Amazon. You can do your shopping that way, and that helps the show out a little bit. And as always, Aaron, thank you very much. Next week, Sam, Ari will both be back. I will be here as well. And consider it sucked, guys. Thanks.